What had never been even a theoretical contingency was insane Adamist starships slicing the station apart with lasers. It had all happened so fast. Now little Gatche and Haeckel hugged Tia, their mother, faces distraught as she kept them anchored. The air was too hot, it stank of vomit. Isra couldn't hide its torment over the kinetic missile attack that bit deep into its shell from the young, impressionable minds. Kanda's death convulsions as she went through explosive decompression were still causing wintry shivers along Gora's spine. The combined psychological stresses of the last 15 minutes was going to leave a trauma scar that would take a long time to heal, even for the well-balanced psyche of an Edenist. And it was all his fault. As station chief, he should have taken precautions. He had known about the civil strife on Lalonde, yet he had done nothing. "It is not your fault," Ithra said softly into his mind. "Who could have anticipated this?"
"I should have.
From the information you had, that was not predictable.
I had enough data from Ilex. It was chaos on the planet when they left.
These starships did not come from Lalonde. They are mercenaries recruited elsewhere.
I could still have done something, put people into apartments closer to the lifeboats, something. How are Kanda and the others?"
"I have them, but now is not a good time to begin raising my consciousness to multiplicity status."
"No. And you? How are you?"
"I was angry, frightened. Now I feel sorrow. It is a sad universe where such wanton acts can take place.
I'm sorry we brought you into existence. You have done nothing to deserve this."
"I am glad I live, and I may yet continue to live. None of the craters is more than 20 meters deep. I have lost a lot of nutrient fluid, though, and my mineral digestion organs have been damaged from the shock waves."
Gora's hand squeezed a grab hoop he was holding. Fury and helplessness were alien to him, but he felt them now with a daunting strength.
"The physical damage can be repaired. It will be repaired, never doubt that. Not as long as one Edenist remains alive."
"Thank you, Gora. You are a fine supervisor. I am privileged to have you and your staff attend the dawn of my intellect. And one day, Gatya and Haeckel shall run around in my park. I will enjoy their laughter."
A solid beam of intolerable white light stabbed into the lifeboat through its one small, heavily shielded port. Space was being devastated by another hail of fusion explosions. The children started crying again. Through Ithra's much-degraded perception, he saw the long white fusion exhaust of the third Adamist starship decelerating towards them. With its tremendous velocity, it had to be a warship. But there had been no contact apart from the curt woman telling them to switch off the beacon. Who were they? Who were the other two? Why had they attacked Ithra? Not knowing was difficult for an Edenist.
"You will soon be safe," Ithra said. It widened its broadcast to include the Edenists on both lifeboats. "All of you will be safe."
Gora met his wife's frightened, stubborn eyes. "I love you," he said, for her alone. The blast light was fading. He looked out of the port, his mind welcoming inquisitive contacts, showing the children their solidly real rescuer approaching. Whoever the pilot was, he was coming very close, and moving far too fast. Space directly outside the lifeboat was filled with a brilliant fusion exhaust. Gora flinched, jerking back from the port.
"It's going to hit!"
There were screams behind him, then the exhaust vanished, and a huge spherical starship was 100 meters away, small sensor clusters sticking out of its dark silicon hull like metallized insect antenna. Its equatorial ion thrusters exhaled fountains of sparkling blue ions, halting its minute drift.
"Bloody hell!"
It was a collective sentiment from the adults. The starship rolled towards the lifeboat, as though there was a solid surface below it, and its extended airlock tube was suddenly coming round to clang against the hatch. Gora took a moment to recover his poise. A void hawk would be very hard put to match that display of precision manoeuvring. The lifeboat's biotech processors reported the short-range intership channel was picking up a transmission.
"You people in the lifeboat, As soon as the hatch opens, we want you through the tube and into the lounge, commanded the female voice they'd heard earlier. Make it fast. We're running out of combat wasps, and we've got to pick your friends up as well.
The hatch seal popped, and it swung back. Little Gatche squealed in alarm as one of the biggest cosmetics Gora had ever seen floated into the airlock tube.